This is an MUT Radio podcast.
6 minutes after 11. Welcome to the Hlanganani Midday Show. My name is Awe Tukelese. I'm going to be here from now up until 1 p.m. right here on MUT Radio. Well, as I told you, Guti, today we'll be having an awesome and amazing interview organized by the Department of Fuko Obose MUT, which is directed by Dr. Nofemela. Alongside the MUT Radio, they are bringing you this interview namhlanje on the 15th of August 2023. And we do have our guest on air as we speak, Mr. Mokgotsane from Imeseta. Mr. Mokgotsane, good morning and welcome on MUT Radio.
Good morning to you and the listeners of MUT Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much to the Department of Cooperative Education and Directorate. So today, before Njie, we go to the question, I just wanted to know more about Mr. Mokgotsane. Who is he? Because I was given a profile, but I want, you know yourself, so when I tell you, who is Mr. Mokgotsane, and when did you join Imeseta?
Okay, no, thank you. I'm Naftali Mokgotsane. I work for Imeseta, currently acting as the Chief Operations Officer. I joined Imeseta in 2005. And I, you know, grew from the various positions where I started as a quality assurer to a senior manager responsible for quality assurance and partnership. So I do believe I've got experience and extensive knowledge in quality assurance programs and also in, you know, curtailing partnerships with various entities that the CETAs are, you know, working towards achieving their goals. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Mokgotsane. So, can you please briefly tell us about Imeseta and what programs do you offer for graduates?
Okay, thank you. Imeseta is one of the 21 sector education and training authorities. We are responsible for one of the sectors, which is the manufacturing, engineering, and related services. So we are comprised of six subsectors, being the metal manufacturing, auto manufacturing, motor retail, tire manufacturing, plastics manufacturing, and components manufacturing. Now, these subsectors, obviously, our responsibility being skills development, they would identify their skills needs, and therefore, you know, with the government, we have predetermined sort of indicators or programs. And for typical graduates, you know, they would fall into you know, graduate placement program, which we call work experience or internship. So these are the, you know, people who are qualified, holding certificates, but wanting to increase their opportunities to gain employment. So therefore, they would then, in partnership with our employers, be absorbed into placement. Then the second one is what we, you know, do, which is work integrated learning for higher education institution learners. In the past, I think you guys referred to it as P1 and P2. So MUT, as a University of Technology, we have a partnership running for such a program. Then the last one is the candidacy program. So once you are qualified in any engineering qualification, you may get into a program where you are mentored by a professionally registered engineer or technician, and we then call it a candidacy program. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so you spoke about having partnership with EMUT. Please tell us more about that partnership and how did it come about?
Yes. You know, year on year, we would enter into a partnership with MUT, and we've been having a long, you know, relationship with MUT. The current active ones is for funding of 300 learners, in your language students, for towards work integrated learning. So that is the program that's running now.
Okay, thank you, sir. Please take us through now the process of how, you know, an institution can go about applying for the MESETA grant.
Okay, thank you. So we use what we call discretionary grants to fund entities, you know, towards any of our intended performance indicators. So year on year, we would advertise what we call a funding window, and it usually opens in February, and it will close in April. However, this year, we opened it in April, and it closed on the 30th of May. So now once we advertise a window, then we'll go up into a process of evaluating those applications, and ultimately they may result in a, you know, an award being made, and the award will then be an agreement signed with the funded party.
Okay. If you have just joined us, we're speaking to Mr. Mokhotsane, who is an Acting Chief Operations Officer for MESETA. This interview is brought to you by the Department of Cooperative Education Directorate, as well as the MUT Radio. So, sir, can you please now tell us about the time frame for the processing of these grant applications?
Your sound is a very faint. I'm not sure whether it's inside or not. Can you ask the question again, please?
Okay, I was asking if you can tell us about the time frame for processing the grant applications.
Yes, this is usually dependent on the volume of applications that we receive. So it will take 2 to 3 months, and we first go through a stage of compliance check. You know, there are some, you know, compliance requirements that have to be met, and then the next stage will then be the verification of the application. So this will include, you know, either a site visit being conducted to verify if this entity have the capacity to offer what they applied for, or it could also be just to verify if they do have the, you know, without necessarily doing a site visit, but to verify if the entity that has applied is indeed the entity. Then from there, it will go into evaluation process, then where we evaluate, and the evaluation is obviously based on how we advertised and which areas we wanted applications, and the evaluation would then go into a recommendation to the next stage, which is the adjudication, and then there will then be a final recommendation, which will then go into an approval or a non-approval. So that's the process. So basically, we are always challenged by the volume of applications, you know, that may then affect the time frame from the 3 months to slightly about the 3 months. Thank you.
You just spoke of the challenges, and that was my next question, to ask you about the challenges that you may have encountered in the past years. I'm not sure if you can add other challenges if there are, but I'm going to ask you about the qualification. Now, the qualifications that MESETA caters for, if you can just name a few.
Yeah. Thank you. Maybe just to add on the challenges, we often find applications that do not really align to our planned key performance areas, and then we obviously have to still deal with it and not necessarily ignore it, and either give an outcome. There's also a high, you know, number of non-compliant applications, which obviously based on the volume, it still has to go through, you know, the same process. So yeah, those are the problems. But going to the next question, the CETA through the skills, sector skills plan, we've identified what we call priority skills. And I'm just going to mention, we typically are a CETA that produces a lot of artisans. So on the top of our list, you will find we have high demand of skills for artisans, be it your fitter, tanner, metal machinist, welder, automotive motor mechanic. Those are the trades. Then the non-trade would be your manufacturing operations, your industrial engineers, your mechanical engineer, your quality systems managers, your engineering production system workers, electrical engineers, production engineers, your metal processing operators, your plastics composite and rubber operators. So those are, you know, the top of our skills priority as a CETA. Thank you.
And how long, I'm just curious, how long has MSETA been in partnership with MUT Cooperative Education Directorate?
Yeah, we have a partnership. That's why I'm saying, fortunately, MUT is very active on an annual basis. When we advertise a funding window, they do apply. So on a year-on-year, we would have an application coming from MUT. And the current one is ending in 2026. There's another agreement that we have that is ending September 2023, this year, next month. So we do cater for, you know, once we go into an agreement, we just give it 3 months. I mean, sorry, 3 years for it to be successfully implemented. Thank you.
28 after 11, this is the Hlanganani Midday Show. And if you have just joined us, we are in conversation with the Acting Chief Operations Officer of MSETA, Mr. Mokhutsane. Now, I'm very interested about, you know, some of the policies and ethics should funded students have or be aware of during this funding period.
Thank you. You know, the funding to students is very limited. You know, if one, you know, take a number of students that MUT has, it's a very high number. And obviously, when we fund students for opportunities that we've mentioned in terms of work experience and internships, we would want them to really embrace the opportunity and not, you know, squander it. We would want them to really go into workplaces with the right attitude so that they can then enhance their skills or opportunities to get employment. So those are the challenges. We also sometimes are challenged by students who, we call it double dipping. You know, they will be getting funding from two CETAs at the same time. That's very unethical, and it's a serious challenge for us as a CETA to, you know, we've got 21 CETAs, but we can't have one student being funded by two CETAs at the same time. You know? Thank you.
Now, if you didn't know, MSETA has just donated millions and millions of rands to NSFAS. Actually, it was about 141 million rands. Wow. To NSFAS. Please tell us more about that, Mr. Mokhutsane.
Thank you. Maybe just a correction. It's not a donation.
Okay.
It's a partnership, and it's a funding of bursaries for students who are categorized as coming from, you know, the missing middle. So these are the students who come from families that do not meet the household income threshold of 350,000 rand. So typically NSFAS wouldn't fund such students on that basis. So we've now got into an agreement with NSFAS to fund these missing middle students who will obviously are studying programs aligned to our priority skills. Thank you.
So if you say it's a partnership, is there anything that you might get from, like, NSFAS? Like, what's the relations there?
Yeah, well, they must do what they're supposed to do. One is the, you know, selection of students and all the administration that is needed in this. We, you know, we call it partnership because we know that we're just going to pay the funding towards the student and a small, you know, contribution for the administration. But we, you know, such agreements, we call them partnerships because they also have to do their part to make it a success.
Okay, no. I just had to ask Mr. Mokhutsane. Now, before I let you go, can you please tell us about maybe any development opportunities that may be available for, you know, our graduates here at MUT, Bezala Pemeseta?
Yeah, thank you. You know, a student who has studied in a University of Technology, you know, the normal progression is for them to end up being registered as technicians or engineers. You know, and obviously from our funding, we look at particular programs that will allow them to move towards that end. However, I'm sure you picked up from my profile that I am a qualified artisan. So we've seen also some students who come from the University of Technology who somehow get interested in becoming artisans. So this is one of our biggest funded programs for learners to become artisans, you know, over and above your work experience, work integrated learning and candidacy programs. We are now in discussion with the provincial government to try and see if we can assist the students who have done engineering programs, who've completed them, but MUT has not issued them with a certificate because of outstanding debt.
Yeah.
So we're still trying to craft that kind of funding for such students so that they can then be issued with their certificate. Thank you.
No, thank you so much, Mr. Mokhutsane. We truly appreciate every work that you put in.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.